She had finally come to the end of her stamina. It was the end of the line. She could go no further. How had she ended up at this point? Somehow she had survived the trauma of a divorce after 15 years of marriage. But now she found herself completely exhausted and spent. What was the last straw? What was the thing that just pushed her over the edge? Was it trying to raise all her kids by herself? She had 7 of them. Was it the financial burden? She had refused to take any kind of public assistance, and so she had worked 2, sometimes 3 jobs to pay the bills and to feed her kids. Was it the siren call of alcohol in her life that led her deeper into depression as she tried to cope with it? Was it being cut off from her network of friends that she had had at church, a church that she had been born in and raised in and been involved in all her life, and now she felt cut off? Because in those days, she was no longer able to receive communion in the church because of her divorce. So she simply stopped going. I don't know what it was that finally caused her to totally break down. I don't know. But I was 10 years old when it happened. And I remember the day that it happened. I remember the moment when literally the men in white coats came into our home and in our living room put my mother on a hospital gurney and strapped her in with my brothers and sisters all around and took her out the door. We all said our goodbyes. I didn't know really what was going on. I didn't understand it. I just knew that Mom was sick and that she needed help. And so she left. I don't remember to this day whether she was gone for a week or a month. I don't know. I don't remember who took care of us. I guess it was maybe my older brothers who were back home from college. But it was then and there that I was introduced to someone who I deeply loved, who was totally mentally, emotionally, and physically exhausted. She needed a new start. She needed a fresh start. And she got her fresh start, and I'll share a little bit more about that later. But at the age of 10, I was introduced to that. And since then, I've had my own fresh starts. And as a pastor for the past 35 years, I've seen hundreds and thousands of people get fresh starts. Maybe today is the day that you need a fresh start. And if not today, someday you're going to need one. And I want you to come with me to an incredible passage of scripture. It's in the Old Testament. Find your way there. In your Bible, on the YouVersion app, follow along on the screen here. It's in 1 Kings 19. It's from the story, a true story, an historical account of the prophet Elijah, an amazing man of God. And I hope today, my prayer is today, that you will find a fresh start, that you will be able to experience a fresh infusion of hope by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that you'll be invigorated and renewed no matter what you're facing. Now, Elijah was a man from a community called Tishbe, so he was known as Elijah the Tishbite, which sounds kind of like a snack. Here, have a Tishbite. But it was just the name of his town. And he's the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And I want to share a story for you, not though at his greatest moment, we'll talk about that too, but really at his lowest moment. Earlier in 1 Kings, we read about Elijah and He has this showdown. In fact, he takes on like 800 prophets. And then he goes to Mount Carmel, and you can go to Elijah, here at Mount Carmel. Here's a photo of it. You can go there today and you can see it. He had this incredible showdown with the prophets of Baal. And there were 450 prophets of Baal. You can see this other view from Mount Carmel where you can overlook and you can see all the way to Jezreel. But Elijah had a mountaintop experience. He prepared a showdown with the prophets of Baal. He said, okay, let's build an altar, and you call on your gods that he will consume the sacrifice with fire. Then I'll call on my God. The prophets of Baal tried for hours and hours and hours. Nothing happened. Elijah prayed a 30-second prayer. Fire fell from heaven, completely consumed the sacrifice, and at the command of God, he slew the 450 prophets of Baal who had taken Israel astray, who had led the people astray into all sorts of terrible practices. After this incredible moment, he runs 18 miles from Mount Carmel, 18 miles to Jezreel. And there it looks like he's going to be okay, but the empire strikes back. Ahab was an evil man, and he had an even more evil wife named Jezebel, and they struck back. In 1 Kings 19, we read about it. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like the one of them by this time tomorrow. So Ahab goes crying to Jezebel, oh, look what Elijah's done. And Jezebel says, I got this. And she takes over. Jezebel was not happy about what Elijah has done. And when Jezebel, when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. She is on a rampage and she vows, and she was capable of doing this, she vows to take Elijah out within a day. You will be dead by this time tomorrow. She's the classic intimidator. How does Elijah, who had faced down hundreds of prophets before this, how does he face down this very grumpy woman named Jezebel? It says in verse 3, then Elijah became afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba, there that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. So he actually departs from his friend. And he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. So check out this map here. He goes from Jezreel and he goes to Beersheba and then another day's journey. So he goes 85 to 100 miles to run away from Jezebel. And this is, he ran. I mean, this was an incredible physical feat, but it was exhausting. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, I've had enough. You ever feel like that? I've had enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, totally exhausted. Elijah was an incredible hero. He was strong, he was tough, but Elijah was worn out. He was weary, and his weary finally got the better of him. Take my life. It's interesting here. What's he afraid of? He's afraid that Jezebel is going to kill him. He's afraid of being killed. And he gets so exhausted, what does he ask God? Kill me. Why did Elijah so fear Jezebel's intimidating threats? Why was he so afraid? Why was he so burned out? What were the factors that led to this? Well, I want to go through those very quickly, and maybe you can relate to one or maybe all of them. If you come to the point in your life where you just say, I've had enough, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, I'm just burnt out. Let's look at the five or six factors that led in Elijah's life to this burnout. Six burnout factors. First one is he felt threatened. Sometimes we feel threatened. Jezebel was a legitimate real threat. This wasn't just in his head. It was a real problem. And we all have those moments where we feel threatened. Our livelihood is threatened. Our physical health is threatened. Our emotions are threatened. Something happens and it's a real deal and we feel threatened, insecure, like what's going to happen? I don't know. And so we feel that way. It's real. It's not just in your head. How about this one? You get overextended. Elijah had gone through so much. He was physically exhausted and emotionally spent. He had become public enemy number one. He had had an amazing confrontation, but it took its toll. He runs for his life, and then he asks God to take his life. The writer of the epistle to called James, that follower of Jesus named James, says of Elijah, "Elijah was a man just like us." He was just a guy. He's just like us, which also tells you you're just like Elijah. I mean, you're just a human being, and you know what? You get overextended. This is the second thing. We get overextended. You've just been going way too hard, way too long, way too fast. Are you there? You're just so overextended. I've had enough. I saw an article the other day, and it said, COVID has pushed all my buttons. And maybe that's the truth in your life. It's like, I can't do it anymore. And you just need a fresh start. Here's another factor for Elijah. He became isolated. It says he left his servant there. He actually left him behind, and he went off by himself. He separated himself from a supporting relationship, a friendship, and he went by himself a day's journey into the wilderness. Just when he needed to be around people, he isolated. He shut people out. And this is a you get isolated. This is a classic thing that leads us to burnout when we get cut off from these supporting relationships that we need. Now, I know Jesus, it says, often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And that's good. You need to be with God. But in his darkest, deepest moments, like in Gethsemane, he brought his friends along. He says, pray with me. Can you be with me during this, my greatest crisis? So we need relationships. But sometimes we isolate, and that's the worst thing that we could do. Maybe this factor, I go negative. Elijah went negative. He got lost in self-pity. He said, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors. Who said you had to be better than your ancestors? Nobody told him. He told himself that. He started looking at all the circumstances that were surrounding him, and he didn't think about all the great stuff that had happened, all the blessing of God, all the supply of God, all the provision of God, all the faithfulness of God. Instead, he went negative and focused only on the threats. So maybe you find yourself going into negativity, which is a pit. Maybe here's another factor. I am unprepared. Elijah was unprepared for the backwash of this incredible moment of victory. He didn't understand that when he had that incredible triumph over the prophets of Baal, that there was going to be a strike back on that. This is a spiritual battle, and you have a great victory. They're going to come after you. He made no provision for the counterassault. It caught him off guard. It's like a tsunami. You know about a tsunami? What happens when there's a tsunami? There's some kind of earthquake or whatever. And the water on the shore actually recedes. It goes far into the distance. And it looks like there's safety. And then what's going to happen, though, is it's going to come back in a wall. And you're hit. And if you're unprepared for that, God help you. So when you're unprepared to face spiritual battles because you haven't prepared with the resources you need physically through prayer or whatever, people, whatever, that can take you out too. And we're all there sometimes. We're all unprepared sometimes. And that's okay. And the last factor is I become forgetful. He only saw the threat. He had forgotten the God who had delivered him time and time and time again in the past. Let's just review them all, the six burnout factors, and maybe you can relate to one or more of them. Maybe you feel threatened. Maybe you're just overextended. You're just so physically exhausted. I mean, guys, any one of us can be there after this pandemic. And then the racial injustices and the crisis that our nation is facing and the economic toll that all this has taken. We just get overextended. Maybe work. Maybe it's educating kids at home. I don't know what it might be. Just get overextended. You're a human being. You're allowed to be overextended, to feel that way. It's okay. Maybe you become isolated. Hey, we've all been isolated, haven't we? Some of us isolated from friendships that could have been restorative and and helpful to us. Maybe you've gone negative and you're normally maybe an upbeat, positive person, but you've allowed this negativity to creep in. Maybe you were unprepared for a spiritual battle or some issue that arose, and maybe you've forgotten about the resources that God has for you. Well, God comes to your rescue, and he doesn't blame you for that. He just comes to your rescue if you let him. So here's how God renews me. Here's how God renews me, and he can renew you. It says in 1 Kings, suddenly an angel touched Elijah. The angel told him, get up and eat. Then he looked, and there at the head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. I mean, God just, boom, there's food. And this is freaky fast. It's like Jimmy John's. It's right there, delivered right to where he was sleeping and resting. I love this because somebody said, Elijah gets no sermon here, no blame, no rebuke, no lightning bolt from heaven saying, look at you, you worthless ingrate, get up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. None of that. Instead, Elijah, you need to relax. You're just physically exhausted. Refreshed. You need to be refreshed. Here, you're worn out. You need something to eat. Here's something cool to drink. Here's some place to get some sleep. Exhaustion can do strange things to us. And God knew what he needed first was just some rest and rejuvenation. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him. He said, get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Then on that strength, from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. This is where God had given the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai. So look at this map again here. Elijah goes not just from Jezreel to Beersheba and beyond, but all the way down to Horeb, to the mountain of God, to Mount Sinai. And this is a leisurely pace, though. Now, this is not a run. This is not a sprint. This is a 40-day walk. He's basically going on a retreat. He's getting time off. He's being refreshed. He's slowing down. See, here's what God does for us when we're just spent. He restores me physically. He restores me physically. Brothers and sisters, it is okay for you to be weary. Like it or not, you are a physical, spiritual being. You are not just a spirit. You have a body, and you are not a machine. And even if you were a machine, even a machine requires maintenance. I mean, your car can't go forever. You have to refuel your car. God says, let's talk. Verse 9, he entered a cave there and spent the night. Suddenly the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's a clarifying question. It's meant to draw out Elijah, to help him kind of take inventory of his life, to think about his life. Why was he here? How did he end up here? What was his purpose? It was reflection time. God didn't scold him. God didn't chew him out. God didn't say, snap out of it, Elijah. Instead, he speaks to him. Think about your life now. Elijah replied, from his pain, from his heart, and that's just fine with God. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life. Elijah at this point is actually believing a lie. I failed. I'm all alone. There's no one left. They're going to kill me. But God meets him right where he is. You're allowed to just talk openly and candidly and transparently how you feel with God. And God graciously listened. He didn't say, that's dumb. Instead, he just listens. But he calls him out of his cave and says, Elijah, stand before me. Here, I'm going to encourage you. Verse 11, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. And at that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. So guys, get this. What do we have here? We have God speaking in these spectacular moments. Earth, wind, and fire. To my older buddies out there, this sounds like a rock band. Earth, wind, and fire, right? But Elijah was used to spectacular displays of power. The Lord wasn't in those this time. Then just as you might expect, from the tender grace of God, it says, and after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Elijah was used to seeing God in the big and in the spectacular, in the miraculous. But God was taking him in a different direction to meet him in an unexpected place. He was drawing Elijah out of his self-pity and his discouragement and his depression. And what he was doing was he was meeting him personally. And that's what he'll do for you. Doesn't matter what you've experienced, doesn't matter how you feel, you just open up and you talk candidly to God, and he meets you personally at that moment. Just pour out your heart to God. Tell him exactly how you feel, and God can handle it. It's okay. You need to have those kind of conversations with God, and he meets you there, and he somehow physically can comfort us, but also emotionally, spiritually, just meet us where we are. And I don't know, there's all sorts of ways that he can do that. He can speak to you through a scripture. He can speak to you through a song, through a music, whatever it might be. But he meets you personally. Look what it says here. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? It isn't a negative. It's just, what brings you here? Think about your life. Again, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking for me to take my life. Once more, God allows Elijah to pour out his heart. That's what God does for us. That's the way God is. You know, they asked a mom, she had a bunch of kids, they asked the mom, which one is your favorite child? And she says, my favorite child is the one who needs me the most in that moment. That's the way God is. You can pour out your heart, you can be totally honest, and God will meet you right there. He meets us in unexpected places. Sometimes we're looking for God in spectacular, miraculous outcomes. Displays of power, glorious answers to prayer. But are you willing, am I willing to hear from God in just a whisper, just a small whisper? And one of the reasons he does the whisper is because when you whisper to somebody, guess what you have to be to hear the whisper? You have to be close. Come here, come close. I want to tell you something. We draw near to God. God sometimes speaks in a still small voice. Can you hear his whispers? He's going to whisper to you. I love you. It's going to be okay. I've got your back. This isn't the end. There's a better day ahead. Keep persevering. You're my son. You're my daughter. I will never abandon you. Whispers. Can you get to a quiet place to hear from God? Maybe it's out walking in a forest. Maybe it's in a quiet place in your home. Maybe it's listening to a song that you love. Maybe it's a book that you're reading and God speaks to you in that. Maybe it's scripture, you're opening up and there's a verse that just leaps off the page and God speaks to you there. Maybe it's somebody else who says something to you and they become that voice of God through them. Maybe it's your child giving you a hug. I don't know, but sometimes it's just a whisper. Are you listening? He meets us personally. Verse 15, then the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. So here it is. He restores me physically, because we're just worn out sometimes. He meets me personally. He whispers to you. And then he gives me direction. Basically, what he's saying to Elijah at this point is, we're not done. I'm not done with you. This isn't the end of the road. I got more planned for you. Go back where you came from. I'm not finished with you. I've got a plan for your future. See, God has something he still wants to do in your life. It's not over. If you're not dead, you're not done. He's got a plan for you still. And now God is going to give you some more specifics in time. But do you believe that? Do you believe that God still got something for you? I hope you do, because God does. And God is going to get into some more specifics with Elijah. He will empower and encourage Elijah in the future. How? Let's read on. When you arrive, you go back. When you arrive, you're to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You're to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah, as prophet in your place. Then Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Hazael. And Elisha was put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. But I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. What does he do for Elijah? He clarifies reality here. He says, I can take care of your enemies. I can take care of your problems. I can address those issues. I can take care of it. I can do whatever needs to be done. And you're not alone. There's still lots and lots of people. There's 7,000 people that are still on your team, that are still on your side. Sometimes we believe the lie that we're all alone. Nobody cares. Nobody loves us. Nobody believes in us. Nobody's on our understands that what God is saying. And it's like, no, there's tons of people that are followers of Jesus. And he let him know that he still wants to use him. I got great plans for you. I got 7,000 people, and you're going to link arms with them, and you're going to do some great stuff. It's not clear yet, but it will become clear. You're not alone. And he gives us people. 7,000 he got. He needed friends. He needed people. Maybe in your situation, you just need some practical help. Maybe you need to see a doctor. Maybe, you know, you're physically exhausted and you need to eat better, see a dietitian. Or maybe you need to get exercise and you link up with a personal trainer. Maybe you need a counselor that you can go and talk to. There's no shame in that. Absolutely. I've gone to a counselor and said, hey, help me out with this. What am I supposed to do about this? That's fine, guys. And then there's more. He gives Elijah one particularly close personal friend. Verse 19, Elijah left there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing. 12 teams of oxen were in front of him, and he was with the 12th team. Elijah walked up by him and threw his mantle over him, which is a symbol of, I'm passing this new ministry over to you. And Elisha left the oxen, ran to follow Elijah, and he said, please let me just kiss my father and mother, then I'll follow you. I'm going to go real quick. Just kiss him and I'm right there with you. Go on back. What have I done to you? What's gotten into you? So he turned back from following him. He took the team of oxen, slaughtered them. The oxen's wooden yoke and plow. He cooked the meat, gave it to the people. They ate. Then he left, followed Elijah and served him. And you can read the rest of the story. But Elisha becomes this incredible successor to Elijah. See, what he does is he provides me with all this stuff, and then he provides me with community, other people. God brings people into our lives to encourage us and to help us, because guys, we all need friends. And maybe that's where you link up with your life group. Maybe that's where you say, I need to get in a life group. Maybe that's where you give a call to an old friend. But don't go isolating. Instead, link up and find those people around you that can support you. And if you have no idea how to do this, and you're like, I'm new to town or whatever, there's no one, then give us a call and we'll try to link up with you and help you and encourage you on your way. And let's also make sure that we are the kind of people that do that for others. That when sometimes I need the help, sometimes I can give the help. Sometimes you need the help and the encouragement, sometimes you're on the other side. Are you willing to be that encourager and to be that friend? Let's make sure we're available. Availability is huge. We aren't meant to live life like hermits in isolation, which is why this time in our nation's history is so difficult. We need to be with each other. And so let's find opportunities to connect And as these restrictions are lifted, let's find more and more opportunities to connect, staying safe and healthy, but connecting with people face to face. You see, God empowers you for your future with a fresh start to serve him and friends to help you on your way. I'm going to go back to my mom I talked about at the beginning. My mom came to the end of her rope, but you know what? She got some fresh starts. She spent that time, and with some help from doctors and counselors, she got back on her feet again. And she came home and she had new, fresh wind and energy to take us the rest of the way. And I was a young boy still. She had a lot of parenting left. She did a great job. She was a great mom. When she got another fresh start, when she was finally done raising 7 kids, a decade later, she got another fresh start when she finally kicked her addiction to alcohol when she was 65 years old. And she got the greatest fresh start of her life when she was over 80 years old, when for the first time in her life, she really truly understood in a personal way the grace of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. She knew the law of God, but she didn't know the love of God, and she experienced that 80-something years old, and she got a fresh start on life at the very end of her life, the last year or so of her life. I've gotten my fresh starts along the way. At the age of 10, I saw that. That was hard. 8 years later, I would have a neighbor who shared with me the good news of Jesus, and I got a brand new start in life as an 18-year-old. And along the way, I've gotten my own fresh starts, and I needed them, and you need them too. Today is your day for a fresh start. I don't know if you know the end of the story of Elijah. It's a really funny ending, actually. If you think about Elijah, what did he most fear? He feared that someone was going to kill him. He feared that he was going to die. And the funny end of the story is when Elijah is handing off the ministry, the prophetic ministry to Elisha, God sends a chariot of fire and picks up Elijah and takes him to heaven. So Elijah never actually died. Here's the thing we learn here. The thing that he feared the most never even happened to him. Sometimes the things you fear the most never even happen. Most of them never happen. A few of them happen, but not nearly as severely or difficult as you might think they might be. And then a few of them do. They're hard, but God's with us through everything. Guys, let's look at it one more time. God restores me physically when I need a fresh start. God meets me personally when I need a fresh start. God gives me direction when I need a fresh start. And God provides me community when I need a fresh start. What's the common denominator in all this? God. Can we pray together, guys? Father, I just pray right now for that person who needs a fresh start. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came, and for all of us, for the entire human race, because of our sin, we needed a fresh start. And you gave your life so that we might live forever. You gave us a fresh start. Father, speak to that person. Whisper to them what they need to hear today. If it's today to come to fresh faith in Christ, I pray that they'll cross that line and say, I'm coming to faith in you today, Lord Jesus. I'd like everybody, wherever you are right now, to just offer your hands before the Lord and just hold them before you and say, Lord, here I am. And if you need a fresh start, would you, I don't care if you're in your living room, I don't care if you're in a car, if you need a fresh start, would you just in front of your family, just raise your hand and just say, I need a fresh start. Maybe it's by becoming to faith in Jesus. Maybe it's by asking God to work one of these things into your life. But today can be a day that God gives you a fresh start and he whispers something to you. Hear him. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed and said, amen. God bless you guys. Let's get off to a great fresh start this week.